testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. Welcome back to ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM. Angelo Carriero here with you this morning. And you can give us a call at 381-1313, but if we can't get to you in this the rest of the show, there's a very good reason for that, and it's because I'm joined by Frederick Douglass, offensive lineman and top 100 recruit in the nation, Jagger Burton. Jagger, how are you doing on this Sunday morning, sir?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm doing well. Thank you for coming in, man. Yeah. It's really cool to have someone actually come in studio, and especially during these times where everybody's so worried about health, and rightfully so, that you came in, you got your mask on and everything, but you were ready to do this. Very appreciative of that. And yeah, do you get I don't know if embarrassed is the right word, but when someone says like top 100 recruit, like you're the top player in the state, like all that, what's that kind of feeling for you?
I mean, it's kind of weird because rankings change so much. Like, honestly, yeah, I'm like, I think I'm 56 in the nation now, but like for the longest time I was like 150, and it's just like they fluctuate so much. It's like so like whenever I got invited to All-American game, I got like the number two biggest like ranking jump of like my class, like that's happened. So it's just like when people say stuff like that, I'm like, wait, I'm top 100. Like, I don't really realize it because I don't really pay attention to that stuff, but it is cool being the number one player in the state on like I think every site, which is pretty cool. But you know, like all the work that went into all that, you know, it kind of feels like I deserve like what I have. So
I'm glad you said that,
yeah,
because a lot of people, like, it must be I don't know how much of like a fan that you were when you're younger. I know that I always liked looking up when I was in high school, like looking up recruiting site rankings that. And so if you did that, to be it's surreal.
Yeah.
It's got to feel not disconnected, because that's why I like to hear you say that. Cause some people are like, geez, all shucks, you know, I'm just so, so honored and blessed to be here. No, man, like you did put in that work. You did go to the gym. You were with your team. Yeah. You did go early. You did stay late. Mm-hmm. And there's no problem with being proud of like what you've done. So I'm glad that you at least recognize that, you know, that your hard work, it does mean something to have that kind of ranking.
Yeah. And it's, you gotta have like a balance of it, because I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, if you don't put in the work, you're not going to get there. But some people will put in the work and still don't get there, or just will never get noticed and have to go to JUCO to get noticed, and sometimes go to JUCO and don't even get noticed. So it's like God plays a part in it, and it's just like you're blessed to be where you are, but you know that the blessings wouldn't come without work. But sometimes people who put in the work don't get the blessings necessarily. So it is a big blessing to, you know, be on all these sites. I used to look at it when I was a kid. It's really weird, honestly. Like, I used to sit freshman year, when I was at LCA, I would just sit in class on our little computers on my phone, looking up rankings, seeing all these people. I remember when Walker got ranked, everyone was talking about it. And then like literally almost a year later, I got ranked I think maybe a little bit higher. I don't even remember. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, you don't even like think about it. And then you stop looking at the sides because you're like, it's like different whenever you're on it. Because it feels way more attainable. I don't
know. I wouldn't know. I played offensive line in high school, but good Lord, if I would have known, I'd have probably tried to switch positions, because man, people think offensive line, and some of them are just these big, fat, like ugly guys. Dude, you're like 6'4", and you're probably like what, 5% body fat or something?
Yeah, something like that,
dude,
yeah.
you're insane.
Yeah.
Like, physical specimen, which is why probably that you're so highly recruited and whatnot. I mean, you don't look like a lineman, you look like an athlete.
Yeah.
And that's the point. By the way, I want to talk about your recruitment here in a little bit. I kind of want to wait on that because look, man, I'm gonna tell the people this, and I don't want you to get upset at me, but you know, to come to a Lexington, Kentucky radio show wearing Ohio State football shirt when Kentucky's on your top seven, man, you're gonna get the people listening sweating a little bit. All right.
Yeah, I have a shirt from. I think I got a shirt everywhere I went on a visit. So
that's
basically my wardrobe,
dude. So if I got a football offer from Ohio State, I'd wear the hat, I'd wear the shirt, I don't even like Ohio State, and I'd still wear all of it, man. Yeah. That's awesome. By the way, I'll have to again ask you that in recruitment. I actually got to play with a guy that's in the NFL.
Oh, really?
Have you ever met Larry Warford before? Do you know of Larry Warford?
I've heard his name.
He played at Kentucky for 4 years at the end of the Joker era, beginning of the Mark Stoops era. He made All SEC second team 3 times.
What was it? O-line.
He was offensive guard, he played for.
I know that name.
Yeah, yeah.
I might have met him.
He played guard for the Lions, and then he was with the Saints until this last couple months. But before we get into all of your recruiting. First thing I want to ask you, man, because I think that Frederick Douglass's football program has been
not only like phenomenal and exceptional and whatever like other adjectives you want to use on it, I feel like the program that you all have had has built like good young men and whatnot. And I think some of that has to show through the beginning of these football activities and with COVID going on to be so careful. Like how is Frederick Douglass, like how's the school since like, when did you go back? When did you go back to start your football activities?
I can't remember the exact
day. No, like a couple weeks ago. Was it like two weeks ago or a month ago?
3 or 4 weeks ago, something like July. That. Whenever they let us, yeah.
Okay, so you started back in July. How's Frederick Douglass handling it? Like, do you feel, because if you've looked some of the stuff online, like there's a lot of problems at EKU with players coming out and saying like, we don't feel safe. The testing is, you know, not going well. Like, how do y'all feel about it?
Me personally, and I can basically say for everyone on the team, we feel perfectly safe. They're following like every single guideline that the governor and everyone else have been putting out, and they even go the extra mile with some things. You know, like after, for example, like so we lift weights. We're allowed to be in the weight room in our small groups, and after everything you do, like even sometimes before your partner goes, you have to get a wipe and wipe it all down, and then get 6 feet, and then they lift, and then you go back. I mean, it's crazy like to go through all of that just to like lift weights, but I mean, you got to go like the extra mile to beat all these teams that we play. Like this year we play Sanex.
That's awesome, by the way. Yeah, that is awesome. And that's at Frederick Douglass, November 6th, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dude, that
last game of the season.
Oh, man. I am. And speaking of that last game of last season, didn't y'all play Catholic?
Yeah, we played Catholic a game before that, I think, this year. So we play both of them.
Man, not only are you facing the best teams in the state, you're facing COVID as well.
Yeah.
And like you said, not only is it putting in that work to fight, but you know, the teams that you're going to be playing against, it's that you have to be that diligent in safety or you don't get to step on the field, period.
Yeah, exactly. That's what, you know, like that's what like Coach McPeak preaches to us, that it sucks for everyone. Everyone has to do it if you want to play. It really tests a lot of people's love for football, I think. Like I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of other teams, not necessarily Doug's, but a lot of other teams would have people quit. Just out of pure frustration. It's just like the stuff's annoying, but it's what's necessary to like stay safe. Like wearing a mask whenever you lift. Obviously you sweat, so you just like the mask just goes in your mouth every time you breathe, and you feel like you're suffocating. But it's whatever to play football. That's why I don't understand all these people. You've seen all the people opting out of seasons.
Yeah,
I don't get that at all.
No, I mean I think a lot of it with some of those people, like it is scary. We're in an unprecedented time. Like I know you're pretty young, and I am too, obviously. Yeah. But you know, there hasn't been something like this in, you know, 100 years or whatever. And it is scary for a lot of people, and I can understand that. But when you love football, that's kind of why I wanted to talk to you. Not only because of your recruitment and Frederick Douglass, but being a high school athlete in this time is really interesting, and kind of like what goes through your mind. And man, when you all have a team like you runner up in the state championship game, y'all lost a close game in which, I mean, y'all had, I still think the team you had 2 years ago was, if it wasn't for that Scott County game, which I was not a fan of how that ended out, I wouldn't be surprised if that sat with you for a long time. I was pretty upset that night.
Yeah.
We've been following you all year long, and that team was so phenomenal. But
and we beat them the first time bad.
Bad.
Yeah.
Bad. And then, what was it, last year was the first time y'all blanked Scott County, or the first time Scott County had been blanked since 2001.
Yeah.
And y'all did that, man.
That was just all that pent-up aggression.
Why wouldn't you be angry?
Yeah.
It was, the game was out of your hands at the end of it. That's if anybody doesn't remember, I remember Cam, it was Jones. Like fourth and eight. And I think he scrambled out and ran, and it looked like he got the first down. They marked him like 2 yards short.
It was a throw.
Okay.
And we scored, and we were down by 1 point, and we went for two instead of trying to go to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And we threw it. He came through a back rack pylon pass to DeKel.
Oh,
and
okay.
Everyone thought he was in, but the refs called him out.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious, I think. But that's neither here nor there. By the way, Angelo Carriero with you this morning, joined by Jagger Burton of Frederick Douglass, and again, top 100 recruit in the nation on ESPN Sports Radio 1300-925. Actually, let's go to break real quick. Last break, and we'll get you on. We'll talk about your high school recruiting. Want to ask you like about Coach Landis and being happy for him and whatnot, and Coach McPeak. And then I'm going to get into a couple just little tit-for-tat sports questions with you, but we'll get into that here right after the break on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5 FM. Angelo Carriero, ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM with you on Sunday morning. And by the way, having a phenomenal time with Frederick Douglass offensive lineman Jagger Burton. We just were talking over the break about how, like, how just cool it is to have a team in Lexington like Frederick Douglass, to have this type of meteoric rise and to be this successful so early. And that, you know, we were talking about that you all have a chance to be Highlands, to be Trinity, to be St. X, to be that another power where people say Frederick Douglass and it's synonymous with you don't want to play him in football. You just don't.
Yeah.
And you said a lot of that has to do with the coaches. And I know Coach Landis just landed a linebacker coach job with Georgia Southern. Is that
Georgia State?
Georgia State. Thank you for the correction. How did those guys build you? Like, not only build you up, because you were telling me, you know, before you went to Frederick Douglass, you were nobody.
Yeah.
And you said how much the coaches like helped build you and whatnot. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, so my freshman year, I went to LCA with my brother was a senior there, and then they had like a headmaster change who like didn't support football or whatever. So I went, I was like looking for school to go, not just for football, but the academics weren't, it wasn't because they were hard, but it was just like, it's different at private school than it is public school.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of trying to want it. My family was moving and we were redistricting. So I was like,
by the way, your brother scored a 35 on the ACT. Obviously, your family values education and they weren't going to send you anywhere.
Yeah.
So I was,
Douglas has this really interesting, it's not like other high schools. They have business pathways where it's like kind of like a college major in high school. So I wanted to do business in college. So they had a business pathway at Douglas. So whenever I was looking at other schools, I saw that they had a business pathway. And I was like, this is really interesting. I want to look more into this. So I looked more into it. And it's basically like, it's like a mini major in college. So like by the time you get to college, you already know a lot of the stuff. So I went to Douglas to do that. And Walker wanted to do the same thing. So then he went. It wasn't for football, but it was like, I know one probably believes that, but it was for academics.
Yeah.
So we went for the pathways. And then it turns out like they were good the first year, but it wasn't like how we are now.
Yeah.
So it was like our second year was like really like Douglas's first like takeoff year.
Oh man, I was there for it. We were just talking about the Scott County game that drove us crazy. That team I thought was state championship caliber, best team I've seen in the city.
Yeah.
But you were just talking about how like the coaches, like how much they've had that effect, and Coach Landis. Like, what can you say about Coach Landis? Just, you know, in retrospect, and then how Coach McPeak is handling his first stint as the head man.
Yeah. So the tough part about Douglas and what I don't know if a lot of people know this, but like I think what the coaches had in mind whenever they started this school is like so all these kids from different schools are going to come. It's going to be really hard to they're all going to have different mentalities from their head coach. It's going to be really hard to form like a new kind of like a new wave or like a new mentality across all these kids that know each other but don't know each other, and they're all from different high schools where different coaches have taught them different things and they all run different plays. So you basically have to like get all these kids. That's why I never thought that Douglas would be as good as it was the first year they started, because it's like all these kids, like you have to teach them everything. You have to like rebuild them as a football player as soon as they get in. But you know, Coach Landis is like one of the best coaches I think that's probably coached in the city, and he did a great job of that. And then I think they lost three games the first year.
Yeah, I remember. I think Montavion was the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Montavion Bean, and they had
They lost to Danville.
I think they lost to Scott County
twice
that year. The third round, and then the regular season.
Yeah, because we've never lost to a city team.
Wow.
In 4 years.
I mean, I didn't think you had, but to hear that out loud, wow.
Yeah,
like, that's extremely impressive. That's, because it was for the city.
Yeah,
and then Scott County tried to say they ran the 8-5-9, and then y'all put a hush to that and whatnot, which was awesome. You know, hey. You know, Lexington over everything.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5 in Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah.
You can stream online at WLXG.com. Speaking of Dakel, he's back. Hey, he went to IMG Academy for a year. He is obviously on the path to be a college D1 wide receiver or even a cornerback if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like in the locker room to have him back, and what do you think he can do for the team?
Me and Nicole are like best friends, like especially
so
whenever.
You're so glad to have him back.
Especially whenever he left. Like I remember it was like he just FaceTimed me one night. I was in bed. It was like 2 days before our first game. And I thought he was calling me about the game. And he was like, I'm going to IMG because IMG had called both of us trying to get us to go there.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm going. He was like, you come with me or whatever. And I was like, no, I'm going to stay. So then we kept in contact. I was obviously kind of hurt by that he left, mm-hmm. but I understood he was trying to do what was best for him. So we were FaceTiming like every week, just talking about how it was. And like slowly it went from it's great here to I don't like it that much here. I miss home. I want to come back home. And
yeah.
then I think that was also a big part and deciding factor for DeKel about going to Kentucky.
Because mm-hmm.
when he came back, he kind of knew. He was like, I don't want to go away from home, I don't think. So,
see, that's when I knew because, like, everybody has their, like, did he come back because he was homesick? But this is just what people say.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this. Uh-huh. This is what people say. Like, oh, did he want to do? And then when he commits to Kentucky, you know how, like, thoroughly, like, he does want to be home. He does want to put on for the city. He wants to be close to his family. And all the mentors that he's going to have at his fingertips mm-hmm. for being as highly rated as he is to come to Kentucky.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so having him back on the team, obviously it's going to make you all, if you weren't already the prohibited favorites, you are now. And then it's just cool to hear that that you all are such good friends and that it's not just getting a great teammate back, it's getting like your brother back.
Yeah, me, him, and Dane Key, and then
who's coming up?
A few other guys, and like Connor Farley. Like, so whenever I came from LCA,
mm-hmm.
Connor Farley came with me, plays linebacker on our team. Mm-hmm. Lucas Chevreux doesn't play football, but he's one of my like best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Dickey, who ended up leaving, going back to LCA like after like 3 weeks. and Walker, obviously. So all of us came over there. And then a few other people from LCA came over too. So it's weird. Like you like I literally went from preschool all the way to freshman year at LCA. And it's like you always look at playing on Friday nights and like, they call it Eagle Valley.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't even see, like, it's almost, it's not like, I don't want to say a greener pasture because, like, it's like, just like for me
mm-hmm.
personally, it was like the best decision for me. Like, I wanted to play big time, at the time, 6A football. Now we're 5A, which is kind of a more, I feel like 5A is more of like a balanced division.
Mm-hmm.
6A is kind of like you'll have like some teams that are okay. Then, like, the top is just like the top.
I've wanted y'all to stay in 6A just for that.
I wanted to be able to play Trinity and Mail, but obviously we scrimmaged Trinity and we struggled. It was probably the worst football game I've ever played. Like, not me personally, but like just like from going to like practice like that, and like we just had no idea what we were
doing.
It's
hard.
Yeah,
it's hard, man. It's a great program, but y'all are building your program up just like that. And so let's get to the college recruit. I know a lot of people are interested, obviously, where you're going. And you, like you said, DeKel's got your back. You know, that's your mm-hmm. brother. He's going to University of Kentucky. But I'm looking at your top seven. University of Alabama, University of Texas, Penn State, Oregon, Ohio State, Clemson, and the University of Kentucky. By the way, goodness gracious, boy. you just racked them up.
Yeah.
Everybody. And here's the thing. A lot of people be like quarterbacks, superstars, wide receivers, running backs.
Mm-hmm.
You know that these teams, first and foremost, want people to play in the trenches. That's what it's always said. Alabama, why are they successful? Offensive, defensive linemen.
Yeah.
And it proves that because when Texas, Clemson, and Ohio State, those programs don't get superstar, you know, quarterbacks and then get half-rate offensive linemen.
Yeah.
No, you need it to complement each other. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, your own guy, Walker Parks, going to Clemson. So, how are they kind of pulling you back and forth, and what can you tell us about some of the other schools on here?
So, like, just to start off from, like, the beginning of my recruitment was, like, it was just, like, a random day. I went to Kentucky, like, senior day just because I wanted to go to a game. It was, like, a noon game, and I was, like, getting a lot more attention than normal. I had no offers at the time, and they were, like, Coach Stoops wants to talk to you. I was, like, what is going on? And then I went down.
So you went as a fan, and then?
Well, I went on the recruit thing, but it was like I wasn't really going to get recruited. I was just going to the game.
Okay. Because,
like, you can get free tickets that way.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, what is going on? I talked to, like, Coach Slarman. Like, I had talked to them, but, like, I hadn't, like, talked to them like this. So then they offered me. And I was just like in shock, kind of.
you went to go watch a free football game,
exactly.
And you ended up coming out with a scholarship offer.
UT Martin or something. Yeah, and then after that, the week after that, I went to school. West Virginia came, and they offered me, and Purdue came the same day and offered me. And then, like, after that, it slowed down for a little bit, and then I got a few other ones. And then I started going to, like, all the camps I could go to. and it slowly just picked up, and it was like just there's like a period like Dane's in this period right now where it's just like everyone's offering you.
Oh, Dane's got some, yeah. He got offered by Texas, didn't he?
Yeah, like it's like certain schools will offer off other schools offering, so mm-hmm. you get an offer, and then that school offers, but then another school offers off that school, so it's just like rapid.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got like Penn State, and then all these schools, and I got Ohio State, and then I went to Alabama camp, got Alabama, went to Clemson camp, got Clemson. So it's just like, it's crazy how fast it all happens, because then like you don't even realize what's going on while you're in it, and then you look back and you're like, that was kind of crazy, like 3 months, all like, I don't know, I think I have like 26 or 7 offers, so it's like all that happened in like 3 months, and I've been waiting like since I was like in eighth grade.
That is so incredible. Yeah. So I mean, it's not only the schools recruiting you. I mean, Walker's got to be in your ear.
Yeah.
Dekel's got to be in your ear. Uh-huh. What are they saying?
Well, Walker's kind of Walker's more mellow about it than Dekel is. Dekel, you know, he's like an outspoken, like funny dude, kind of like outgoing, really outgoing. So he'll just say whatever he wants. And like me and him are always together. Obviously, like I don't get to see Walker as much anymore because he's obviously in South Carolina. So,
By the way, he went viral in that video, that Clemson video. Yeah. It was silly, but he was right in the mix.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Dekel, it's not like he's like trying to force me to go there. Obviously, that wouldn't work. But he's like just telling me why he made a decision, and it's good. It's good insight, honestly, because I honestly think like and like the guys playing like the bigger picture. I don't know if Dekel would have chose. I don't know what Dekel would have chose if he wouldn't have gone to IMG, because I mean, if he's going to IMG, then it kind of seemed like he wanted to get away to me.
Mm-hmm.
We never talk about it because we always talk about it with everyone else.
Yeah.
But it's like, I never really like, we don't ask each other where we're going ever really. But just in my head, you know, seeing him go to IMG, it's like, I don't know if he wanted to stay home or not. And then he comes back and he wants to stay home and like put on for Lexington and be like that hometown hero guy. So, I think it was really good for Dekel to like get away and then come back and see. You never really know like what you have until you don't have it.
I think you're right, because a lot of people do go out of state for college because they want to play. Like, because if I was a recruit, dude, I'd want to go play for USC.
Yeah.
You know, you get to go to Southern California, major football. But like, I could be there for 2 months and be like, oh, like miserable. I'm depressed because I miss my family and I miss my friends and I'm alone and nobody. Uh-huh. So it's good to do that. Are you, when you're saying like the hometown hero thing, does that like matter to you at all? Like what's the thing that you're looking for most when you're looking for the school that you're going to go to?
I would say just, I want to be like, I never want to be in the situation you just described. But I don't necessarily think that happens just because of distance. I think it's more like if I'm like for example, Oregon's in my top 7 and Oregon's far away, like across the country.
Yeah.
So if I was like, but honestly, like Oregon was like a place when I went where I felt it's exactly like Lexington, like Eugene is almost. And it's like, if I feel comfortable in a place, then it's like a home feeling, but it's not necessarily always it's always at home, but you can get a home feeling in other places where you're not from. So it's like, that's like the most important thing to me is just like, I want to be comfortable and I don't want to have to be like, it's not like, I don't think being far away is necessarily a bad thing. Not that that's what I want to do, but it's like, I feel like sometimes it's like you have to get away a little bit to grow, and you can get away here. Like, I mean, my parents live like, well, we have like where we're staying at right now, we have like a house by Douglas, and then we have like a lake house that we've had since I was little. So that's like an hour away, but like that's where I came from this morning. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, but
well, thanks for coming in. I don't know, I would have been like, sorry Jagger, I'm on the lake, I'll call in.
No, you're good. And then like our house that we live in during the school year is like 15 minutes down the road, so it's not like, I mean, I would be able to get away. It sounds like, I don't really know how to explain it, but it's like my parents aren't going to be like showing up in my
you don't
want
to be tra- yeah you don't want it to be high to school Kentucky. Too you want to have your own life experience.
Yeah, you want to like, I've what I'm trying to say is like, I feel like it's a good thing to get away and kind of not like in a bad way, but like distance yourself from your like family a little bit to like really like
grow
by yourself.
Yeah.
And like,
and by the way, folks, UK's in his top 7. All right. Don't get all upset. Yeah. There's still a major possibility when it comes to UK. Don't worry about it. All right. But I respect what you're saying. This is a quick question I thought at the top of my head, with the Pac-12 and them like kind of like the players kind of saying that we need this before we play, would that affect your decision to go to Oregon?
I wouldn't say it affected it unless it ran into the time I was going to be there.
Right. Like if they said, hey, us group, we're not going to play, that would prevent you from playing. Does that get in your head? Because if you're willing to play now, I'm guessing you'd be willing to play for Oregon right now.
Yeah, because I'm enrolling early too. So it's like I get there in December.
Yeah.
So I leave here in December, like right after first semester of high school. So yeah, it could affect it, but I'm not even really like, I'm not looking into that stuff as much right now because I honestly feel like after like when 2021 starts, it's all just going to go away, like with the vaccine or something. So, I mean, I hope. I'm sure that's what everyone hopes.
That's what we
I'm ready
hope.
To get back to normal.
I'm sure, man. Everybody, everybody is. Yeah. Everybody is. So, let me. Last thing I'm going to ask you about your recruiting is, what is the most? By the way, do you know your commitment date? Have you made one yet? Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Obviously. What's the craziest? And you already told me a really great story about you going to UK. Is there like a, don't name the school, anything like that. Is there a crazy story like where, you know how people say in that recruiting trip and all these, you know, girls showed up or we got like, you know, all the, has there been anything like that?
I don't have any stories like that, but like I have a lot of crazy like offer stories. Like,
tell me the one that's your favorite. I like the UK one. That was great.
It's probably a tie between Clemson and Ohio State. So like the Clemson one was like I was at camp and it's like a 3-day camp and I was rooming with Walker and I was obviously trying to like Walker knew I think like for the majority of the camp that they were going to offer me if I did good and I was like having like the best camp ever.
Yeah.
So I would come back to the room every night and I'd be like, Walker, do you think they're going to offer me? And he'd be like, no, they told me they're not going to. So I'd be like, I don't know what else I need to do to get an offer. And then like he was like the last day he was like, he said that you got a little sliver of a chance. Like he's like, you just got to do good today. So I did really good. Like I didn't lose a rep. And then like after we're like walking out and someone grabs my shoulder and I turn around and it's like one of the assistants and he's like, run up here real quick to the front of the indoor facility. And there's all these people, like Coach Sweeney takes pictures of people after the camp and he's like standing. So I walk, they're like, take me in front of all these people. And then all these people are like just standing there watching like almost the whole camp. And he like offers me in front of everyone. Like Dekel was there. Dang. Walker was there. My parents.
Yeah.
My mom has a video of it. I don't have the video.
That's cool. Send it to me. I'd love to see it.
Yeah. And so he offered me in front of everyone. Like I had like a wife beater on.
Yes.
From like the camp and it's like ripped down the middle in the video. From like one-on-ones. And then the Ohio State one was, I was at school sitting in English class and we have like administrators. So Mike Harmon or Coach Harmon, he played at Marshall, I'm pretty sure. He's like a big football guy. So this is when Coach Landis was there and Coach Landis is a big Ohio State fan.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Nice.
So I guess he had been talking to them or whatever and they were like, they were going to offer me. So Coach Harmon pulls me out and he's like the people that deals with people when they're in trouble.
Yeah.
So I was like thinking I'm just getting out of class to like watch film.
Yeah.
Something like that. And Coach Harmon's like, do you have anything you want to tell me? And I'm like, no. Like, I hadn't done anything.
Yeah,
like,
what would you
do? I was like, no. I was like, I was thinking back. I was like, if I never really do anything like bad or anything. Right. But I was like, if I had done something bad, I definitely would have told him. But he's like, come to Coach Landis's office. We got to talk to you and figure out what we're going to do. And I'm like, what is going on?
Oh,
so I walk in and Coach Landis is like, sit down. He's like, so do you have anything you want to tell me? And I'm like, no. He's like, well, we're going to need to call your parents. I'm like, about what? I didn't do anything. And he's like, you're in big trouble. And then they just both start laughing. And they're like, no, Ohio State's about to offer you. Like, pick up the phone.
Ooh.
I pick up the phone. They offer me. It was like a roller coaster of emotions.
That is, I like doing that personally,
yeah,
too. That is awesome. I honestly love all three of those stories. Yeah. It's cool that you have like three different experiences of something just crazy. Your life must have just been this last year, been a whirlwind of like, awesome. And
yeah,
like
Oklahoma, just, whenever they offered me too, I was sitting in,
didn't even make, by the way folks, didn't even make top seven. Oklahoma, can you believe how spoiled rotten Jagger Burton is when Oklahoma offers him? He's like, you might be my top eight, but top seven, no.
But I was in the, you know, Freddy's in Hamburg. It's like a, it's basically cookout. It's like,
oh,
a
cookout.
I was sitting in Freddy's parking lot with like a friend, I think maybe my girlfriend at the time, I can't remember. And I was just like eating, and I got like a DM on Twitter. It was like, call this number. So I called this number. Mm-hmm. I didn't even look what coach it was. I just knew it was like a red school. I thought it was Arkansas at first, I remember. And I called him, and he's like, it was the O-line coach from Oklahoma. He's like, this is the O-line coach from Oklahoma. Like, we're going to offer you a scholarship. And I was like, what?
That is,
because Oklahoma is like a big school. I just never really, the reason I didn't put them in my top seven is I almost did, but it's like, I didn't do enough research on them to really be able to feel comfortable with talking to people about them, about if I wanted to go there and like knowing about the culture. I never really like looked into it enough for me. Where Texas I did, and I even took a trip to Texas, and it was like at the point where I put out my top seven, you know, no COVID stuff was going on. I was trying to make a decision. Like once I could take my officials, I was going to decide.
Right.
But now I'm just waiting on my officials. So it's like,
of course,
I had wanted, like, Texas was like one of my dream schools, so I like already knew a lot about it. So I just went down there and they offered me, but it was like,
that's when I knew. Yeah. When you got that offer from Texas, that's when I started telling people, like, boy, like, he's on.
Yeah.
Like, you weren't just and this is no insult to these schools, but like when you said like Purdue, West Virginia, Kentucky, that's local. Those are great schools. You could go there and be a fantastic, possibly NFL player.
Yeah.
But like when schools are going out of their way, like Texas, to offer you, I was like, whoa.
Especially Texas is different too, because it's like, majority of Texas roster is Texas kids, so it's like,
yeah,
if you're out of state, they don't give a lot of out of state offers at all, unless they really think they have a good chance with you or they think you're really interested.
Yeah, and that's your dream school. That's hard to say no to, except, you know, I guess wanting to be one of the, you know, part of the crew or whatever, you know, like all the Texas kids. Yeah, you're going to be the one Kentucky boy that they're kind of like, you know, out of there. But but that's all. And you know, all this, I was going to say, like with Oklahoma, I was going to say, well, Jagger, they produced a lot of great NFL offensive linemen over the last 4 years, and then it's like, well, so is Clemson, so is Ohio State, so is Texas, so is Kentucky. Yeah. Like you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
All right, man, I've kept you a long time.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a couple just fun sports questions. I want to let it's ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM. Angelo Carriero here with Jagger Burton. I just want to ask you some fun stuff, man. Like, get it out of the way. You're a sports fan. Now, see, you're one of those guys that, like, you've got social life, you've got camps, you've got – it's not like you can always be in it, but who are your teams? Give me some of your teams.
I guess they're not the Redskins anymore. Washington
team. Yeah.
And NFL. And then I like the Bills little bit and the Browns just because Odell and Jed are there. I'd probably be a Browns fan this year.
Awesome.
With Washington.
I was going to say, that worries me. You're a Washington fan, and they just drafted Chase Young and Dwayne Haskins. Yeah. That's Ohio State. So now, look at all these connections, man. You got I couldn't get a read on you. Trying to see where you wanted to go.
And then college, I can't really have one.
Like, no, you can't. I would
UK and Oregon when I was little.
Kentucky basketball. Say that one, because then you don't.
I am a big Kentucky basketball fan.
There we go.
Yeah,
that's a good man. Let's see. I asked you everything I want to. I got two sports questions. These are the all time ones I ask all my guests. These two questions, it gets me a good feeling on you. Michael Jordan or LeBron James?
Michael Jordan.
Dang. All right. That was strong. Why so strong? Hey,
because
look.
I argue with DeKell about this every single day.
I'm not saying that LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan. I am saying that LeBron James is the best basketball player I've ever seen.
See, I don't agree.
You're like 10 years younger than me.
Okay,
you didn't even watch
him. I didn't even watch him. Also, it's like, how do you determine someone's greatness? It's like points by game, MVPs, most valuable player, and championships.
And Jordan has all three over LeBron.
Jordan has all three over LeBron.
Yeah.
How else do you determine a good player? Just because LeBron's like more flashy, I guess, kind of.
Well, I would.
Another reason I feel like people like my age say this.
Can I get you and DeKell? I want to hear what you're about to say. Can I get you and DeKell on here just to hear you two argue about it?
Yes,
that
because
would be awesome.
We argue literally every day.
He's a LeBron guy?
Yeah.
DeKell, my man.
Yeah.
All right.
I think most people say LeBron because we watch LeBron play. If we would have watched Jordan play, that's why a lot of older people say Jordan.
And see, that's the other thing that I struggle with, is because with people my age and even younger, sometimes we want to like respect the past, but sometimes it makes you hate on the present.
Yeah.
So a lot of times when I hear people my age or younger be like, LeBron sucks, he would never be Jordan, I'm like, that's our guy, though.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta, I'm not saying you have to think LeBron James is better. I would even probably, you know, to my head, say Michael. But like,
it really
you
gotta just
rep
depends.
Your set. You got to rep your era.
It depends. Like, every time I have this conversation with someone, I ask, like, what to you like makes a good basketball or the best basketball player?
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll list things, and I'll be like, Jordan has all those over LeBron, and they're like, well, LeBron, and I'm like, okay.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. I could give you some of my stuff, but we're not talking about me and my picks. We're talking about you and your picks. I would say, don't forget Bill Russell, 11 titles, 13 years.
Yeah, you know that is true, but it's not all about the titles.
It's not all about the titles. Yeah. Okay, so I got that down. Now, look, you're already – I'm not mad you picked Michael, but in the terms of, like, my guys, you're 0-1. Now, this one's going to be the one where I hope we're on the same page. Tom Brady or Peyton Manning?
Tom Brady.
Dang! No, Jagger! I knew if you were going Michael. There's two types of guys.
Yeah.
There's the Michael Bradys or the LeBron Peytons.
I like Peyton Manning more as like a football player. And he was obviously like a great quarterback, but I don't think you can like discredit what like Tom Brady's done compared to Peyton Manning.
If you had your favorite, let's say the Browns made the Super Bowl, okay?
Yeah.
And they faced, let's say they faced the 49ers.
Yeah.
Okay? and you could go back in time and pick the best version of Peyton Manning or the best version of Tom
Brady?
Best
version of Peyton Manning.
Okay, there we go. That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. When you say greatest of all time, you have to say Brady because six Super Bowls, nine appearances.
And it's but even more like better, that in football.
Who's better?
Yeah.
I think like you said, if we're picking the best one, I think Peyton was just a little more talented.
If I was like a GM or something, I would want Peyton over Brady.
So that's what I was trying to get at. I'm the same way. Obviously, you can't discredit Tom Brady and his championships, but Peyton Manning, I always loved the way he played the game a little more.
Would you rather start a franchise? This is another one we have. Would you rather start a basketball franchise with Kobe, LeBron, or MJ? In their prime.
I've always said it, this is how I've kind of done that. I think LeBron James, all time, if I gave you... You might be too young for this. The Charlotte Bobcats, when they were just absolute garbage, and you could put one player in their prime, who would get the most wins with that team? I think it's LeBron. Because I think what he did in Cleveland, he carried those sorry Cleveland teams to
that's,
like.
That's true. I agree with that one kind
you would
of.
Take Michael?
But another reason like why I could see why people would argue MJ, I don't see a point for arguing Kobe because like he was kind of like a ball hog. But like
Kobe
he
was
still,
great.
He would still win games.
Yeah, I'm glad. Yeah, Kobe was great, but I think that sometimes – the fandom of Kobe kind of overtakes the reality on it a lot.
And the only reason like I could see a point for like arguing MJ is just because like you had like those Dennis Rodman type guys that would like no one really knew until like they played with MJ. Like he kind of made people bound it. I feel like he might have made people around
hear
him.
That. It'd be like Dennis Rodman with the Bad Boy Pistons was one of the best like rebounders.
I don't know. I feel like he made people around him better than LeBron does in certain. LeBron obviously like the Heat was like. Insane, and then like obviously with the Cavaliers, they've both done it. I really don't think you could like choose a wrong.
They're both
way.
Great. To me, there's a Mount Rushmore, and you could do. I think the four best NBA players you got: Michael, LeBron, Bill Russell, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah,
because Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, when you tell it, all-time points leader in the NBA, has six MVPs over five for Michael and six championships.
Yeah,
so
Kareem
you know
was
it's
really good.
Yeah, he was awesome. So I think those four guys. Uh-huh. I never get too upset about it because they're just so great.
They're kind of even in different ways.
Yeah, Luka or Giannis, last one.
Giannis.
Me too. Yeah, all right, man. You've been a phenomenal guest. Anytime you want to come back on, you tell me. Like the door is always open for you to come back on and hang out, man. You've been wonderful. But I've kept you way past my time and your time. So we're gonna get out of here. This has been Angelo Carrio. Jagger, thank you so much. For coming in and hanging out with me.
Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, this has been Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5 FM.